Chapter 6, The Power of Belief. There was a time in your life when you completely owned the power of your belief. But when you were educated to be a part of humanity, the power of your belief went into all those symbols that you learned. And at a certain point, the symbols gained power over you. In truth, the power of your belief went into everything that you know. And since then, everything that you know has ruled your life. Obviously, when we're little children, we're overcome by the power of everyone else's beliefs. The symbols are a wonderful invention, but we're introduced to the symbols with the opinions and beliefs already there. We ingest every opinion without questioning if it's truth or not. And the problem is that by the time we master a language, with all the opinions that we hear growing up, the symbols already have the power of our belief. This isn't good or bad or right or wrong. It's just the way it is, and it happens to all of us. We're learning to be a member of our society. We learn a language, we learn a religion or philosophy, we learn a way of being, and we structure our whole belief system based on everything we are told. We have no reason to doubt what other people tell us until the first heartbreak happens, and we find out that something they told us isn't true. We go to school and we hear older kids talking. Referring to us, they say, "You see that kid? He still believes in Santa Claus." Sooner or later, we find out that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Can you remember your reaction? How you felt when you found out that Santa Claus was not the truth? I don't think your parents had bad intentions. Believing in Santa Claus is a wonderful tradition for millions of people. The lyrics of one song describe what we're told about the symbol we know as Santa. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. We're told that Santa knows everything we do or don't do. He knows when we've been bad or good. He knows when we don't brush our teeth. And we believe this. Christmas comes and we see a huge difference in the gifts that children receive. Let's say you ask Santa for a bicycle and you were good the whole year. Your family is very poor, you open your gifts, and you don't receive a bicycle. Your neighbor, who was very bad, and you know what very bad means, receives a bicycle. You say, "I was good. This boy was bad. How come I didn't receive a bicycle?" If Santa Claus really knows everything that I do, for sure he knows everything that my neighbor did. Why would Santa bring a bicycle to my neighbor and not to me? It's just not fair, and you don't understand why. Your emotional reaction is envy, anger, even sadness. You see the other little guy riding his bicycle very happily all around, behaving worse than he did before, and you want to go and hit him or break the bicycle. Injustice. And that sense of injustice is because you believe in a lie. It's an innocent lie, with no bad intention, of course, but you believe it, and you make an agreement with yourself. From now on, I won't be good. I'm going to be bad, like my neighbor. Later you discover that Santa Claus is not true, he isn't real. But it's too late. You've already released all the emotional poison. You already suffered the anger, the jealousy, the sadness. You already suffered from making an agreement that was based on a lie. This is just one example of how we invest our faith in a symbol. There are hundreds, even thousands of symbols, stories, and superstitions that we learn. The symbol of Santa Claus demonstrates how even believing in an innocent lie can bring up emotions that feel like a fire burning inside us. They feel like poison. They're hurting us. They're hurting our body. And we suffer from a story that isn't real. The emotions are real. They are part of the truth. But the reason we're feeling them is not real. It's not truth. It's fiction. If you're asking yourself why you're so miserable at times, it's because you're telling yourself a story that isn't true. But you believe it. The truth is that your dream has become distorted. But that's not good or bad or right or wrong, because it's happening to billions of other people. You're not the only one in that situation. And that's the good news. The world of symbols is extremely powerful because we make every symbol powerful with that force that comes from deep inside us, that force that we call life, faith, or intent. We don't even realize that it's happening, but together, all of the symbols form a whole structure made by agreements, and we call it a belief system. From a single letter to a word, from a single story to an entire philosophy, everything we agree to believe goes into that structure. The belief system gives form and structure to our virtual reality, and with every agreement we make, the structure grows stronger and gains more power until it becomes nearly as rigid as a brick building. If we imagine every symbol, every concept, every agreement as a brick, then our faith is the mortar that holds the bricks together. As we continue to learn throughout our lives, we mix the symbols in many directions, and the concepts interact with themselves to create more complex concepts. The abstract mind becomes organized in a more complicated way, and the structure keeps growing and growing until we have a totality of everything that we know. This structure is what the Toltec call the human form. The human form is not the form of the physical body. It's the form that our mind takes. It's the structure of our beliefs about ourselves, about everything that helps us make sense of our dream. The human form gives us our identity, but it's not the same as the frame of the dream. The frame of the dream is the material world as it is, which is the truth. The human form is the belief system, with all the elements of judgment. Everything in that belief system is our personal truth, and we judge everything according to those beliefs, even if those beliefs go against our own inner nature. In the process of domestication, the belief system becomes the book of law that rules our lives. When we follow the rules according to our book of law, we reward ourselves. When we don't follow the rules, we punish ourselves. The belief system becomes the big judge in our mind, and also the greatest victim, because first it judges us, then it punishes us. The big judge is made by symbols, and it works with symbols to judge everything we perceive, including the symbols. The victim is the part of us that receives the judgment and suffers the punishment. And when we interact with the outside dream, we judge and punish everyone and everything else according to our personal book of law. The big judge is doing a perfect job, of course, because we agree with all those laws. The problem is that the belief system comes to life within us and uses our knowledge against us. It uses everything we know, all of our rules about how we have to live our lives, to punish the victim, which is the human. It uses our language to create the self-judgment, the self-rejection, the guilt, the shame. It verbally abuses us and makes us miserable by creating our personal demons and our personal dream of hell. There are so many symbols that we can use to say the same thing. The belief system rules the human life like a tyrant. It takes our freedom away from us and makes us its slave. It takes power over the real us, the human life, and it isn't even real. The real us stays hidden someplace in the mind, and the one who controls the mind at that point is everything we know, everything we agreed to believe. The human body, which is beautiful and perfect, becomes the victim of all the judgment and punishment. It becomes just a vehicle where the mind acts and projects itself through the body. The belief system is in the realm of the mind. We cannot see it or measure it, but we know that it exists. Perhaps what we don't know is that this structure only exists because we create it. Our creation is completely attached to us. It follows us wherever we go. We've been living this way for so long that we don't even notice that we live in this structure. And even though the mind isn't real, it's virtual, it's also total power, because it's also created by life. Then, something very important in the mastery of awareness is to be aware of our own creation, to be aware that it's alive. Every one of our beliefs, from a minimal one like the sound of a letter to a whole philosophy, is using our life force to survive. If we could see our mind in action, we'd see millions of life forms, and we would see that we're giving life to our creation by giving it the power of our faith, by giving it all of our attention. We're using our life force to support the whole structure. Without us, these ideas could not exist. Without us, the whole structure would collapse. If we use the power of our imagination, we can see the creation of our personal mythology, the construction of our belief system, and the beginning of investing our faith in lies. In the process of all that construction, all that learning we do, there are many concepts that contradict other concepts. There are so many different dreams that we build, and when we create so many structures, they go against one another and annul the power of our word. In that moment, our word is almost nothing, because when there are two forces going in opposite directions, the result is zero. When there's only one force going in one direction, the power is immense, and our intentions manifest just because we say so, just because our word has all the power of our faith. As children, we invest our faith in almost everything that we learn, and this is how we lose power over our own lives. By the time we grow up, our faith is already invested in so many lies that we hardly have any power left to create the dream that we want to create. The belief system has all the power of our faith, and by the end of the equation, we remain with almost zero faith, zero power. And it's easy to see how we invest our faith in a symbol like Santa Claus. But it's not as easy to see how we do the very same thing with every symbol, every story, and every opinion that we learn about ourselves, about everything. I think this is very important to understand, and the only way to understand it is by being aware that this is what we're doing. If we have the awareness that we invest our personal power in everything that we believe, perhaps it will be easy to take our power back from the symbols, and those symbols will no longer have any power over us. If we take the power out of every symbol, the symbols become just symbols. Then they will obey the Creator, which means the real us, and they will serve their real purpose, to be a tool that we can use to communicate. When we find out that Santa Claus isn't the truth, we no longer believe in Santa Claus, and the power we invested in that symbol returns to us. This is when we become aware that we are the one who agreed to believe in Santa Claus. When we recover our awareness, we can see that we are the one who agreed to believe in the entire symbology. And if we're the one who put the power of our faith in every symbol, then we're the only one who can take that power back. If we have this awareness, I think we can recover the power over everything that we believe and never lose control over our own creation. Once we can see that we are the one who creates the structure of our beliefs, this helps us to recover faith in ourselves. When we have faith in ourselves instead of the belief system, we have no doubt where that power comes from, and we start to dismantle the structure. Once the structure of our belief system is no longer there, we become very flexible. We can create anything we want to create. We can do anything we want to do. We can invest our faith in anything we want to believe. It's our choice. If we no longer believe in all that we know that makes us suffer, then just like magic, our suffering disappears. And we don't need a lot of thinking. We need action. It's action that's going to make the difference.